Well, praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Greetings to you all in the name of Jesus, and it's a joy and a privilege to be here again at the FGB FMI meeting. And it's always a joy and a privilege to lift up the name of the Lord. And I just love what our elder brother Len said to me, or said to us all, yeah? And your motivation to do anything has to be love. Hallelujah. And nothing else that brings me here but the love of Christ, and I will share that with you soon, the testimony of Christ in our lives, so that you may be encouraged and know what Christ is doing in our lives. Tomorrow, Cookie would be, and of course I would be sharing with the testimony of how the Lord healed her. And some of you may be sick, and you may be given a report from the doctors that it's a terminal sickness or disease or something that mankind cannot solve. But I got news for you that nothing is impossible with the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. All things are possible for them that believe. And Cookie's story tomorrow is really about what Christ did for us at Calvary. And broke the bands of wickedness, destroyed the yokes of bondage. And you know, one of the best surgeons in Australia sadly passed on. He had a brain tumor, and they had his story not long ago in Australia on national TV. And he was one of the best surgeons in this particular area. And no one that I know of that has been healed of this type of brain tumor. So tomorrow you will hear that. And I pray that you'd be blessed. As our brother mentioned, some of you possibly cannot make the breakfast because the seats are all taken. But I'm sure there'll be place for you to come in after that. There'll be plenty of room. Hallelujah. Amen. So this evening, let's just pray. Father, I just thank you that I can stand before you now in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And what I share tonight, I pray you will be glorified. You will be magnified in the soul matter, Lord, and you will be praised. And may you take your glory again, once again, Lord. And I pray that you will encourage, that you would bless, you would save, that you would set free, that you would heal somebody in this room today. In the name of Jesus, our Lord, amen. When Brother Len sent me the email about inviting me to come over for this meeting, I took a little while to respond because I was also on my way to Fiji sometime on the third week in June. I've been going to Fiji ever since 2006 on church planting and evangelism. And I was going to do a follow-up work in a area where this apparent cyclone went through and devastated the area, something like 85% damage. But that has been postponed. Therefore, when he also requested if I could stay here for longer, would be good even on the North Island to visit some FGB fellowships. But that was the only reason I could not say yes to it, because my program was set for Fiji. But of course, now it's postponed till August, but still won't make it to the follow-up work in this church that we planted, but still to do evangelism other areas of Fiji, other islands. And I'm grateful to be here, and I've prayed much about it. I didn't just respond, and I felt the Spirit of the Lord quickening me, yes, you're going to Queenstown. And my wife said to me, I'm not coming. I said, why? Oh, I'm feeling cold already. So she said, I'm feeling cold already. I said, well, just rejoice. You know, the Lord created the snow. He created the cold. He created the sun. So rejoice in it. After all, look, it's not all that cold right now. But praise the Lord, she's here. And we rejoice that we don't need to walk in fear of what God created. Hallelujah. We rejoice in all things. Amen. When I look at it, I see the awesomeness of God. I see this great God that I serve. Not far from where I live in Brisbane, Australia, 3 hours away on a plane, and you can come to a place like Switzerland or somewhere up Europe. A great place down here. So praise the Lord. I really enjoy it. So so far my time here. And I pray that you'd be blessed with what I have to share, the testimony of Christ in our lives. So I'm an evangelist. I was never one that chose to do this. I've been in the motor industry, and I love cars up until today. I'll go back to it if the Lord fires me. But at this stage, he has no reason to fire me. So I've got to keep going. Hallelujah. Keep doing what I have to do. And evangelism started after Cookie got healed. But prior to Cookie getting healed, I always had the art of an evangelist. I would do anything to go and help an evangelist out, or anything in a church. Set up a tent, repair the cars, financially bless them, whatever it takes to see the kingdom of God expand and people come to the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, even though I myself would not preach, but I'd be there to help the preacher do it. And I never thought one day the Lord's going to direct me in this path and quit everything when he said, I will make you a fisher of men, and that's what I do now. Going fishing all the time, fishing for men. I just come back from a great fishing trip with the Aboriginals up in Cairns, and we've seen many saved and healed and set free. As a matter of fact, when I return, I'm going into another community, an island in Queensland, to reach out to the Aboriginals. And now the doors have been opened right through amongst them. And I'm rejoicing because fishing is great amongst them. We got some great catches coming. Hallelujah. So when I heard your anthem, boy, did that bless me. I never heard that anthem before. I don't know why. I've been to so many FGB meetings, I don't know whether I missed it there, but today I heard it, and I, of course, sang the English version as well. And I thought that would be a great excuse for me to preach right through this country, because that anthem preaches it all, hallelujah. It'd be the right reason to do it, because your borders are protected according to that anthem by the Lord, hallelujah. What a great anthem. What a reason to preach the gospel. You'll never be politically incorrect. Impossible to be politically incorrect in that one. So that's my every reason to do it. If I ever, the Lord says, go down, well, we'll be here. Hallelujah. Preaching the gospel. That's what I enjoy doing now. Of course, after Cookie's healing, then the Lord directed me into this full time. Not as I chose to do it. No, he overtook business. I was still in business, and finally I was not functioning in business like I should, because ministry had overtaken it. So I was disappointing people, and when they asked me, listen, I need this done, listen, I've got an important thing to attend to, I've got to go out and preach the gospel. No, well, I can't help it. This is, you see, you can't ride two horses, you're going to fall off one. So I did fall off that one, and still writing this one that the Lord has called me to do. And but our life starts back way back in 1963, and I would like to read a scripture out and then share from there onwards about the coming of this great light, this the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives. And I'd like to share from the book of John, because to me it depicts this very much so in our lives. And so from 93 April, I've been doing evangelism by faith. As I said, God ordained me in this whole matter. He called me into this whole matter. Prophetically, he announced it in South Africa. You'll hear much more about that. When I returned to South Africa, my wife was dying. The Lord used a prophet there, and he prophesied over my life, and he told me everything that I'd be doing here. And I said, no, that can't be right. Well, in the end, it all started to happen. God's word as the final say. And in John chapter 4, from verse, of course, you know the story, many of you, but I'll read it so that the word of the Lord goes forth. When therefore, from verse 1, the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of the ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well. and it was about the sixth hour. Then cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then said the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in a well of water springing up unto everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I may thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, Go call thy husband, and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou hast is not thy husband. In that saidest thou truly. The woman saith unto him, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Of course, the story goes on and on and on. The revelation of the Messiah was made known to this woman. The miracle for this woman was Jesus revealed her very secrets. It was a miracle. Now, how is it that you know my very thoughts and the very desires of my heart? Nobody knows. I don't know the desires of your heart. But here is Jesus addressing this Samaritan woman and going against racial barriers and saying, okay, give me water to drink. And of course, that's thunder, you know, with that type of address that Jesus gave to her. So Jesus gave her that living water, that exciting time to drink of living water that does not come from the well. He's more than just a prophet. He's God manifest in the flesh. And he knows your every thought. My story of Jesus coming into our lives goes back many years. Back in 1963, my sister was born on June 25th. And she was born with a leaking heart. She was born with a growth in a windpipe. And 25th June 1963, everything was done by doctors to help out, get over this growth in the windpipe, get over this leaking heart, but they finally failed and they said, we can't help her. At that time, my name is Jesse Pediaci, but Jesse is the name my father gave me. My actual first name is Ranganathan, and I come out of Hinduism. My great-grandfather was the great so-called Hindu high priest in our temple then, when we had this temple. He planted the temple way back about 103 years ago, and it's still there. That temple has expanded and gone into a large temple. And, of course, we grew up in that place and know no one else but the gods that we knew. So my sister was dedicated to these gods. And to every sacrifice, whatever they demanded, we did. Doctors had failed. Nothing has helped her. And it was now 5 months. My sister was suffocating. The growth is still there. The heart is still, the valve is still malfunctioning. So there's a problem. And she's 5 months old. My parents noticed that she was struggling to breathe. And this time she was choking. She would breathe in, and then she struggled to breathe out. Struggled to breathe out. And of course, we had every prayer done that we thought of that time. But all the doctors looked at her and they said, you know what? We'll have to look again and see why is she choking. 7 doctors examining her at the same time. So finally they concluded, see, she was getting a noisy chest. There was a real noisy chest. Every time she would breathe in, there was that growth in the windpipe, it will open up. And when she would breathe out, it would close. And when that would close, it would vibrate and would send sounds into her lungs. They always thought there was something wrong in her lungs. In the meantime, it was this growth. Now they find this growth. Earlier on, they were looking what they could find in the lungs. They couldn't find anything. So, yeah, they found this growth. They said, no problem, we can fix this growth up. And we got the medication for it, 3 injections a day. We'll do that for 7 days, and we'll see what happens. So it happened. It was in the month of November, late November. They gave her injections, 21 injections. And waited to see what happens after 7 days. Of course, finished the course of injections. The doctor said, we'll wait and see what happens. Give it another week and see the effects of this injection. It should melt the growth. Instead, by the end of the 2nd week, it had melted her bones. Her arms and legs scaled in. My mother, if she was here, she will tell you that her head was down to her waist. Her ribs collapsed. Her spine collapsed. She is supposed to be at least 5 and a half months old now. You could put her in a shoebox. She shrunk away. The medication did work, but it did not melt the growth. It did melt her bones. She has now become a vegetable. Nothing we can do. My parents did everything to try and save her. The purpose of trying and saving her, I'm the oldest. Then I have a brother. My mother miscarried the 3rd child. And this was the 4th child. And she was in hospital with her for 3 months. And my mother had some complications as well. And the doctor said, well, you cannot have another child again. So she's doing everything to save this child. Seeing that she's going to be the only daughter. She can't have another child. She's going to be the only daughter. So we did everything to try and save her. And unfortunately, in the eyes of the doctors now, they said we did what we know to do to the level best of our understanding. But sadly, your child is going to pass away soon. She's fast dying. Her organs all are going to start failing because this injection, we had no idea why this went this way. So my uncle, he said, well, I'll do a greater sacrifice unto we had many gods, and one of the gods had demanded these sacrifices. We sacrificed a lot of blood, and I've seen all these sacrifices. I'm the oldest. I had to do a bit of sacrifices with all that. He had a chariot, and he had all these hooks on his back, and walking on sandals that had nails on it, pierced tongue, pierced jaws, and pulling this chariot around the community. And you wonder, how is it that a man can walk on nails? Walking on nails, sandals that had nails, and here you're standing on it. So there's real power there. There is something. You get pricked with a little thorn, you jump up and down. Here is this man walking on nails. Supernatural walk. But before he did that, he fasted and prayed for 30 days. Stayed separate from his wife, and then he would walk on fire. You must understand, there is power in these supposed gods then, but that power was never able to heal my sister. Was able to walk on fire and never got burned, not a scar on his feet, have hooks on his back and pull a chariot and no problem. Had all these little things hanging off his chest with hooks, with milk and so on it for these gods and nothing happening, but of no avail. My mother, the doctors, well, gave up hope. My mother said, so what's going to happen now? My child is going to die. She had the child at the feet of many gods. We had a temple shrine in my grandmother's home, my mother's mother's home. And in a staunch Hindu home like that, you'll find every home of that kind of people will always have a room set for their gods. And yeah, my sister was laying down there. I had to stop from school and stay with my grandmother, moved away from our home just because my mother was in hospital. And now she's out with this child, the doctors fail, laying at the feet of many gods, crying out to the gods, heal my child, heal my child, heal my child. And nothing happened. Well, it was 2 weeks before Christmas or so. My mother in this temple shrine at home, grandmother had a temple shrine in the front yard, and she had one in the backyard as well. And both of them were under a mango tree. And the first one in the front yard, I'm the only one that's allowed to cut a mango after a sacrifice is done, being a holder's grandson and a holder's grandchild. So there it is. The child is there, and prayers went up, and nothing's happening. She shut the door one day, and this is 2 weeks before that year-end Christmas. She cried out to Jesus. Now, she's about 27 years old. The first time she heard about Jesus when she was about 13 and a half, 14, she went to a church. Her neighbors invited her to a church meeting. When she got back home, of course, she was at a neighbor's house. Parents didn't mind her going to the neighbor's house, but never expected her to go to church with those neighbors. When she got back home, you were the neighbors playing around there. Yeah, I went to church as well and heard about Jesus being God. She got the belting of her life. You brought a disgrace to this family. You know your grandfather is a Brahmin Hindu priest. You're supposed to be growing up here in this temple. You're supposed to be. My mother would feed a god. We had a snake in the temple. Every morning she'd feed it eggs and milk. And the snake will come up to get it. We'd worship this thing. Well, anyway, having said all that, my grandmother, you know, staunch and... all this is happening. My mother is crying out to Jesus for help. Closed room, through the ceiling, supernaturally, wind just blew onto her. She cried out to Jesus. That's all she heard. Now she's 27. She heard about him about 13 and a half years ago. And now she's crying out to him, if you are God, can you do something to my child? Divinely, supernaturally, wind blew onto my mom's face. She had her hands lifted up, and this voice spoke out, take your child to a pastor, and the pastor will pray for your child, and your child will be healed. Divinely, hallelujah. I mean, that just don't happen like that. So my mother said, okay, then that must be Jesus, you know. And she opened the door, and she ran out to grab hold of her mother. Come in and have a look at this. Hear this voice. Feel this breeze coming through the ceiling. Grandmother runs in, and she feels nothing. Hears no voice. She says, I think you're hallucinating, you know, because you haven't slept. You stay awake with this child. That's your problem. You're running off sleep. You need sleep. No, I did feel this wind. I heard a voice, and these are the reasons. Well, if that voice said you're going to take a child to the pastor, I'd rather the child die than going to these Christians. That was my grandmother's response. And we're Hindus, she said. You must understand that. We've got these temples. We're leaders of the community. You must remember in South Africa, the Hinduism was really entrenched in a greater manner simply because apartheid allowed it to be so. You had a white area, you had a black area, you had a colored area, then you had Indian area. Everything the Indians would do was entrenched, stooped into it. So now everybody gets to know you well, especially in the spiritual leadership. So my grandmother said, no way, you can't bring disgrace to our family. This, that, and the other. You cannot go to a pastor. The child rather die. Mother said, yeah, okay, fine, and... Dad, we had left her home about 6 months from my grandmother's home. We get a letter from the council saying, if you do not return, the house will be given to somebody else. It's people waiting on a waiting list as the apartheid was entrenched in those years. Waiting list, putting all these people in one area. So Dad said to Mom, we better go back home. We're going to lose the child. We're going to lose our home. So we go back home. Mom said, okay, and there was this elderly woman, she might have been in the 70s or so, she came with the gospel of Jesus Christ home again. Spoke to my mother about Jesus, and my mother's response was, I'm born as a Hindu, I'll die as a Hindu, but if you choose to pray for my child, I got no problem with Jesus healing her. So she did pray, but nothing happened.
And this lady will come back in and out of the house. And this is like 2 weeks before Christmas. We don't want to lose the house. And we don't want, well, the child's going to die. We can do nothing. But we won't go to church in obedience to my grandmother's words. So fine. Christmas Eve, 24th December, my sister was frothing out of her mouth. Just white foam coming out. Her eyes rolled back and it was gone white. She's not breathing any longer. Like there may be some kind of a movement on the neck. We don't know what's going on. But this froth out of her mouth got my parents to think that she was dying. 25th December, the same thing. And they said, you know what? We did all our normal rituals that we would do in Hinduism. Got ready and on our way to the doctors to certify this child dead. Can't do nothing about it. And as we were going, we meet this pastor. And he was the first pastor that became one that started to preach the gospel to the Hindus. First convert, one of the first converts by a pastor that came from Bristol, England, John Francis Rowlands. Sent as a missionary from England with his parents to South Africa. And he became a minister. And the interesting thing about this man, he led this man to the Lord, the man that was trying to kill him. This man that's now a pastor, many times tried to poison John Francis Rowlands for converting the Hindians, suppose Hindus to Christ. They did everything to get rid of this man and the poisons, nothing worked. They even took this tube and they made it into fine powder and they fed him nice curry and rice, you know, and that flavor is there, you don't know what's in it. So they thought all this crushed, fine, powdered glass will go in and cut him on the intestine. And John Francis Rowlands comes and preaches the gospel there, this Englishman, he loved his curry and rice and he ate it. Comes back preaching the gospel, digest, no problem, working like a beauty. Poisonous tea don't work. The man pulls a gun, loads it up, and he said, we'll shoot this fella, you know, get rid of him. Trapped him nicely in the depths of these Indian areas and pulled the gun on him, and this cartridge don't fire. Turn it around the other way, off it goes. But why doesn't it go off to this man? So, of course, Roland's gone, and this man said, I need to find out who this Jesus is. Said, if you are truly God, why don't you reveal yourself to me? And if you don't, by 2 o'clock this morning, I will lay myself on this railway line. Suicide was high in that community as well. So he said, I'll die. But before 2 that morning, the Lord is the only one that I know of that never read the Bible, staunch Hindu, and this was his testimony. He said, there was a bright light shining in the room. I am Jesus who you are searching for. I am Jesus who you are trying to persecute. I am God. The man fell on his face and he started to worship him and he became a Christian. So John Francis Rowlands discipled him and he became one of the first pastors. He came out of Hinduism, staunch Hinduism. So he understood the caste system. We were bound in this caste system. He knew my great-grandfather and he knew my mother's family, my father's family, really staunch Hindus. So he said, I know y'all and I know what kind of a family you are. And if I had to lead y'all to Christ, your family will come to kill me. But I'm telling you now, you got no other answer. Why don't you come to church? You tried everything. You're on your way to the doctors to certify this child dead. Why don't you come? And my mother said, okay, we'll go in. And she had this big red dot, you know, it's yellow string, all these idols attached, strings on my body, ashes on my head, and so on and so forth. But the exciting thing is that my mother has made it known to him, look, I'm a Hindu. Dress sari and typical Hindu. Look, this is who I am. And he said, look, Jesus said, come as you are. Hallelujah. Come as you are. Bring all your burden to the Lord and leave it there. So she said, okay, sounds good. We'll go in. And all he did was he preached about how Jesus came into the world that Christmas morning to save sinners, reconcile man back to God. He gave the altar call, and without any further waiting for people, he just called my parents forward. He said, y'all obviously need prayer. Now you come forward. Do you want to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior? My father said, no. What about you? My mother, she said, no, I'm born as a Hindu, I'll die as a Hindu. And I said, oh, okay. But my dad said, if you want to pray for the child, no problem. I mean, if this Jesus does something to this child, we'll consider it. So they prayed for the child, and nothing happened. Child never got healed. Pastor took the child, and he prayed his heart out. Nothing happened. But he had a word of knowledge. Interesting. And he looked at my dad. Apparently, this is a story my mom would say. He said, listen, you would only accept Jesus if he does something to your child. And he said, absolutely true. He said, that's what I believe in my heart. And he said to my mother, well, you yourself also want to see a miracle. And because of Hinduism, you're born as a Hindu, you die as a Hindu. And even if Jesus heals, you might have a problem receiving him as Lord and Savior. And my mother said, that's true. He said, okay, you can take your child back. If you want to go back and save your gods, even if Jesus heals, then I want you to know that my God is a jealous God. You can have your child back, straight out. My God is a jealous God. Now, the word jealous is the one that led my mother to the Lord. She said, she's born as a Hindu, she'll die as a Hindu. So she said, if he's a jealous God, how do I get to know him? Because I've got a number of gods, and talking to this man, he comes out of the same thing. And as you know, we got a number of gods. Not one is jealous. So this one that is jealous got to be special. He's got to be above every other. He's got to be more superior. That he demands that you save him and him alone. So the pastor said, that's true, that's right, he is superior, he's above every other. She said, I want him then. Oh, the fight started between my father and the pastor. You are not converting my mother and my wife and da-da-da. But my mother said, I believe in him. I am receiving him. That's it. Whether he heals his child now or whether he does not heal this child, I'm accepting him because he's above every other. And more than that, he's jealous that I serve no other. Yeah, he's my mother's first sermon. Hasn't been born again. My father said, okay, what can I do? So she receives Jesus as a Lord and Savior. He comes into her heart. Then my father said, the child is still not healed. So the pastor said, I can pray again. And my mother said, it doesn't matter. If the child dies, it's okay. But I believe that Jesus can heal as well. I got no problem believing. The pastor wanted to know, how come? She said, 2 weeks ago, he spoke to me. He spoke to me. What do you mean he spoke to me? I was in this temple shrine, and he spoke to me through the ceiling. There was wind blowing. He spoke to me through the ceiling. Oh, what did he say? He said, take your child to a pastor, and the pastor will pray. He said, well, I'm going to pray for the child again. So he prayed for the child again. Child was not totally healed or never manifested as healing, but something happened to my mother. She got delivered, set free, whatever. There was like a miracle on her life at that time. But when she got off that floor, she was just crying and crying and crying. Never went to doctors, went back home. Mother is still crying. All day, that was Christmas Day, crying. The funny thing about it all, my grandparents, as staunch Hindus they were, they would celebrate Christmas in a big way. That is the most funny thing. That house will be decorated, everything happening at the same time. And they would take Jesus, he's just another God, but you can't quit Hinduism. So, it is. We go home, but about 6 o'clock that evening, we hear a loud cry coming out of the bedroom. My mom stopped crying and said, who's crying? And my dad said, that must be our child. So they run into the bedroom, and here was my sister from a lump of flesh grown to a normal 6-month-old baby, perfectly well, hallelujah, recreated. Every bone on her head is back. God recreated a spine. He recreated to the point that the growth was gone. The leaking out was healed. And she had lost all air. She was gone bald. Air started to come out of that skull immediately. I got news for you. Hallelujah. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly. Far above that which you ask or even think of. Yeah, he's my sister. My mother said, but this is not our child. How can she be so big? What happened? My dad said, well, we didn't get any other child. All you were doing was sitting and crying. Nobody else came in, yeah? But then my mother recognized the dress. She said, that's the dress I sewed for her. And it's fitting her tight. She was 5 months old when she made this dress before that body melted away. And now this dress is body fit, you know? Wow! She went away bringing others for the water that was not in the well. She firstly went to this neighbor, this lady that brought the gospel, said, come and see what this Jesus has done. Then she went and called the Hindus, look what this God Jesus has done. Many Hindus came to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. That's how my mother became a Christian. That was the coming of the light in our home. It's very rare. You probably get Hindus get converted and come into the kingdom of God, maybe through a debate and you prove Christ. But generally, most times, they want to see that this God is a God of authority. They want to see that he is the miraculous, that he is greater. Well, here is my mother, a born-again Christian, loving the Lord Jesus Christ. But my father, you know, in the time my mother was in hospital in the 3 months, he used to have a social drink. He used to socially have a cigarette or so. But during the time when my mother was in hospital, he got caught up with bad company, which corrupts good morals. So he started drinking and he became addicted to alcohol. Started tasting drugs, addicted to nicotine. And beyond all that, he got addicted to gambling. Became a punter, real big race horse goer. And everything else that was in gambling. He had a staunch Hindu friend and he would not turn to Jesus. He said to my mother, you know, even though this Jesus healed our child, that's fine. I'm not going to be a Christian. I'm not going to stop you from being a Christian, but you cannot go to church. The day I become a Christian, you're allowed to go to church. Your church is in your house here. So my mother turned off her lamps and all this God. She packed it in a box, put it one side. Not allowed to get rid of it. Stored it one side. Father is still serving the unknown God, but not serving the unknown God like he was, because mother packed everything up and... But he's hooked, he's saving his alcohol, his gambling, his friends. One of his closest friends worshipped a god that was, they get this monkey spirit called the Hanuman spirit. And this man gets into a trance and makes him like a monkey who'll climb up a bamboo pole without a problem. And he was a big drinker, money launderer, gambler, and he was my father's bosom pal. He became a Christian in 1967. My sister got healed in 1963. Grandparents would come home and say to my mother, look what this Jesus has done. He healed your child, that's fine, but look at your husband, he's a real drunk. He's a big gambler. He leaves you with no food. He lies, he's going to work. Where's he sitting in the race course gambling? When he gets home from his gambling, he's nice and drunk. So my mother said, what kind of a God is this? He heals one side, he kills one side. My mother said, no, that's not my God. That's not Jesus that's doing that. But Jesus will set him free. The same Jesus that healed my child will heal my husband, will deliver him one day. The interesting thing is, my father's bosom pal gets born again. He gets saved. No more getting this trance on his body. He's delivered from this spirit. He's now no more money laundering. He's no more gambling. He's no more a drunk. He's set freed. My dad's nickname was George. He said to my dad, George, you need Jesus. You need Jesus. 1967, October, my dad goes to church with his friend. And he takes me to church. He said, come with me, son. Let's go. Let's see what these Christians all about. So we go to church. And the pastor invites people to give their heart to the Lord. You know, I don't know how it goes, but the modern day church just has kind of Sunday service. But those days, I remember, they will have an altar call even on a Sunday morning. So those that want to give their heart to the Lord, and my father went forward with his hands up. I surrender. And next thing, he was on the floor. He was delivered from alcohol addiction, gambling addiction, nicotine addiction, and everything else that was in his life. He became a new creation in Christ Jesus. He got home, That day, he said, I don't know what happened to those Christians. They put me down. No man puts me down. No man puts me down. Because he used to do boxing as a sport. He was physically a strong man, but he was losing it with all alcohol that's killing him. And he said, I don't know what these fellas did to me, and I was down on the ground. Half an hour later, I got up, I was different. Comes home, and he goes and takes all his alcohol, throws it down the sink. My uncle says, hey, give it to me. He said, no, it's not good for me, it's not good for you. Cigarettes gone, gambling books gone, everything gone. He said, I found a new way of living. I found this Jesus, he is really God. He is absolutely God, hallelujah. I got news for you. That went on, and I can go on all night here. How my grandmother became a Christian. Aunties, relatives, family members, one by one. We went away singing, and we came back bringing others for the water that was not in their well. Because their well was full of idolatry and full of demon spirits lying and full of everything else but Jesus. Suddenly when they found Jesus, life changed. The man that was walking on nails and pulling a chariot, he's you got to understand this. If you're born again, you got to understand your Christianity today. That man would never allow his wife to turn to Christ. She was classed barren. And 6 years later, after marriage, barren, never had a child. Every God that they did prayers to failed. Now that my sister is healed, my father is set freed. Another evidence that this Jesus is real. My mother's sister comes to my mother and says, can you take me to your God now? That's her husband that walks on fire and on nails and pulls his chariot. Staunch. Before that, she wanted to accept Christ, but her husband said, you become a Christian, I divorce you. We'll never allow Christianity in our home. But she comes to my mother. Mother says, okay, go to the same pastor. He prays for her and says, all the best and look forward to see your next child, your first child. And she goes, and a month or so later, she's pregnant. Sends a message to my mother, hey, I'm pregnant. Go and tell that pastor, I'm pregnant. The pastor said, yeah, I knew that. The Lord had healed her then when she came. Isn't that interesting? But she didn't tell her husband that she went to Christians, only because she didn't want to get divorced. She had the first child, she had the second child, she had the third child. The man still don't know that she's a secret Christian. She's hiding in the bathroom and serving the Lord. She goes in the bathroom and her bath is extra long. She goes to the toilet, she's there extra long. Stayed with my grandmother, and my grandmother said, every time she comes out of bathroom, every time she comes out of toilet, it seems like I am on fire. Something is happening. This woman, I don't know what's going on. Why does she take so long there? Uncle is at home thinking, okay, we'll have to monitor this woman one day, see what's going on. And he'll become uncomfortable. When she comes out there from that bathroom or that toilet, interestingly enough, she got a little book placed by the Gideons, the Bible. New Testament with Psalms and Proverbs. She'll hide it into a blouse there. She'll go in and read and enjoy the Word of God and come out. And the presence of the Lord is so rich upon her that these people get tormented. So she said that to her son-in-law. I don't know, man. Something is not right here. So one day she comes out of the bathroom. Her uncle, her husband, he looks at her and says, and he looks, there's something like a square on your chest here. What's that? He said, oh, no, nothing, nothing, you know. She tried to hide, nothing, nothing. And no, what's there? And he puts his hand into a blouse and he pulls out this Bible. What's this thing doing here? Throws it. She said, I'm a Christian. Hey, I'm a Christian. When did you become a Christian? I'm a Christian from the time I went for prayer before I conceived our first child. What do you mean? I went to my sister and became a Christian. She took me to the pastor, same pastor that prayed for Elsie was my sister, and that child got healed. I had three children through Jesus. But you would stand before those lamps and you would do this. She had said, yes, I would stand, but I never would pray. I would say, Lord, release me. I want to serve you openly. I'm praying to God. I'm praying to Jesus. I just didn't want you to divorce me. Well, The day he delivered a letter of divorce, they kicked her out of the house. She comes home. My mother was the black sheep. She comes home. The day she got the letter of divorce, with my uncle personally delivering it. And he came personally to my home to accuse my parents to break up his marriage. But my auntie got also healed that night in a tent meeting. This evangelist had a word of knowledge, 2,000 people in a tent meeting. And he called this woman out for prayer. She didn't want to come out. Then finally he looked at her in a crowd of 2,000. "You woman with that red jersey," pointed to her, "you come, your problem's going to go today." And he said, "Your problem is not physical on your body. Your problem is stress because you're concerned about your husband that wants to divorce you, aren't you?" That was a few days before my uncle delivered this letter. And she said, "That's right. How do you know?" She said, "God told me, the pastor, the evangelist." Prayed for her and she got healed. She said that to her husband. She said, "No, I don't believe these Christians." Accusing my parents to go and tell this evangelist about my auntie's problem. No, we don't do that. That's wrong. This is God that did that. So this uncle, he's very fair-skinned, and you remember the old days, they used to have safari suits. So he had this white safari suit, and he drove in there. "Let's go. I want to see who this man is. But you will sit with me, and now if you go and tell him anything." So we sit in the meeting, and then the pastor evangelist comes out. "There's a man here that's delivering a letter to his wife. He's going to divorce her." You need Jesus yourself, man. You need Jesus to come into your heart. And my uncle is going red in his face. He said, "Who's he talking about?" My dad said, "I don't know. Whoever, someone will be in this crowd. I've got no idea." So he goes on the second time, and my uncle is there. "Oh no, this man's talking to me." He said, "Listen, I can see you in your face, and you can see me. I'm talking to you. I can call you out, but for your own stubbornness, I won't. You choose Jesus if you choose, do want to. Tonight, that's your choice." My uncle said, "This man's talking to me, man. Look, he's looking at me." So he said, "I better surrender." And he lifted his hand. He went forward. He surrendered his life to Jesus. Next thing, he had many demons come out of him. And the story goes on and on and on. And this light started to shine. My grandmother becomes a Christian. My great-grandfather became a Christian at the age of 91. He was paralyzed for 3 weeks. And he was laying on this bed, paralyzed. And he said, "I don't know, at this age, 91, I'm going to die, but I don't like dying paralyzed." And we did every prayer, and none of our gods can heal us. We got the temple in the same yard. He said to his wife, my great-grandmother, and his children, he said, "Call for that Pastor Stephen Govender who became a Christian, that convert. You know, that Hindu, this is someone else, he's now a convert to Christianity. Bring that convert, bring him home. Let him come with his God." So he came. Led my great-grandfather to the Lord Jesus Christ. "Do you believe that Jesus Christ is Lord?" He said, "Well, I want to." And he received Jesus as Lord. And he got born again on that bed. And this pastor prayed for him and left. And my grandfather jumped out of bed. Great-grandfather was healed. And the first thing he does, he walks straight to the temple and he shuts the door. He said, "Temple's now permanently closed." Come to the light. Hallelujah. Well, 3 weeks later, he went to bed, fit as a fiddle, strong as a hawk, 91, went to bed, slept, and went off to be with the Lord. The public took over the temple, ends that temple. He's still there with these photographs, even though he became the Christian. Saints, I want you to know today that I know, that I know, that I know, without a shadow of doubt, that there is no other way. And you cannot find better water than what Jesus can give you. Because when he gives you water, you will never thirst again. I never thirst again ever since Jesus became Lord of my life. Parents haven't thirst again ever since Jesus became Lord of their lives. And hence we have many that have turned to the Lord. There's still many of our family members have not turned to the Lord. Some have called us a disgrace. They said, this is the way they'll talk. "We will never put our foot back in your house, our feet back in your house, because you have become a disgrace to Hinduism." And they died. They said, "We'd rather die than come into your home. You're a disgrace to us." And some of them died that way. Sadly gone to a lost eternity, refused Christ. But many have turned to the Lordship of Christ. And I don't know where you stand yet tonight. Maybe there is somebody here that needs to drink of this water. Maybe there is somebody here that's backslidden. You were one time drinking of the water from Jesus Christ, but for some reason or the other, you thought the world can present something to you, and you've taken a taste of the world, and you wandered away from God. And you're sitting there as a backslider, and you remember that whole hymn, I wandered far away from God. And in your heart, maybe you're saying, now I'm coming home. You'll have an opportunity to give your life back to God. Receive from the Lord today. Maybe there is someone here today that really don't even know Jesus. Never received Jesus into your life. Well, I got news for you. He is truly God and He is truly Lord. And if He does give you water, you will never thirst again. Therefore, tomorrow we'll share this testimony of how the Lord healed my wife. It's another story altogether, because now many years I'm a Christian, and you'll hear another side of the story of this wonderful Jesus. Some might say, but He only healed because you were a Hindu. I get that story all the time from different, sometimes Christians that don't believe that Jesus still heals today. I'm telling you now that I've been a Christian for many years. And so was my wife. Wonderful Christian, loving the Lord, now dying, twisted in bed. But the same Jesus that healed my sister, He healed as well. Hallelujah. He hasn't changed. Yesterday, today, and forever, He is still the same. God never changes. He's still the giver of living waters. Whenever I read the testimony of this woman from Samaria, it blesses my soul. Because this is what it's all about. Really, Christianity to me must be infectious. It must be satisfying. Others must look at the water that you're drinking and say, hey, can I have some of that? Because your God truly is real. And I've been around different countries and I've presented Christ, and I asked other religious orders as well and leaders. I said, if you got someone better than Jesus, I don't mind receiving Him. But I haven't yet had anyone yet present me someone better or greater, because there is no one greater than God Almighty. He is God manifest in the flesh. Now He's seated at the right hand side of the Father. Hallelujah. And bless His holy name. His blood still avails for you, for your forgiveness tonight, that you may be reconciled back to God. What would you do tonight? We're going to pray in a few moments from now. You make a choice. What would you do tonight? I can share many testimonies of the miraculous outside my family, outside my household. I just was in an Aboriginal community, and I go back. We got to start a church there with these Aboriginals, because there's no one to church them, giving them Bible studies over the phone. And you know what they say we have for church? Sing song, because they love the singing. Someone needs to raise up. We're going to raise up someone to look after them. This is the point. I don't mind going anywhere talking about Jesus, because I know that anyone that receives of Him this water, they will never thirst again. As a matter of fact, because you never thirst again, you want to introduce someone else. What would you do tonight? You may be all believers here tonight. I'm not certain, but I guess majority of you are born again. Well, I pray that you would enjoy what you have. I pray that you would revisit that water that you have in your life and ask yourself, am I really delivering from this well? There's a song that we sing, spring up, O well, from within me. Hallelujah. That life that comes with abundance, eternal life. Is your well alive and is really springing with joy? Is your salvation full of excitement? Is your Christianity bubbling? We used to sing a song in South Africa. I never heard them sing this in Australia, and I tried to introduce it, and I don't know why they didn't take it, but it's a lovely song. I hope you get it. It says, simple word, it's bubbling, it's bubbling, it's bubbling in my soul. They're singing the laughter since Jesus made me whole. The folks can't understand me, nor can I keep it quiet. For it's bubbling, 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 bubbling day and night. Hallelujah. How's your well? Is it bubbling? Is it bubbling, saints of God? men of God, women of God, is it bubbling? And if it's not, then you need to get that bubble going. Hallelujah. Gotta light up that fire within you. I guess that's exactly what you're here for as well, to enjoy this time with the Lord Jesus Christ. Get that Christianity exciting inside you. Hallelujah. Praise His holy name. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, tonight in the name of Jesus, I come to you and I thank you for everyone in this room. I thank you for the leadership of FGB, Lord, MFI, Lord, Lord, for these wonderful men of women of God here that do a great job worldwide. And Lord, since the founder has even come home to be with you, and Lord, they have continued bringing others to your kingdom. I pray that many in this room will never stop, that FGB will bubble on. Hallelujah. May there be more chapters open for you, because the whole reason for this FGB, the founder, Lord, you obviously inspired him, that they may introduce you to others. So I pray that this will bubble as well, Lord. May many things happen in this great nation, New Zealand, in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, that you will light up that fire. If there's someone there, Lord, I pray that needs to have this fire lit up, I pray you will light up that fire. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And I thank you once again, Lord, for coming into my family's life, or into my mother's life, Lord, and into my dad's life, and into my life, and to many a relative's life. I just love you, Lord, and I just thank you for that living water, Lord. I praise you for it, Lord, because I know that I know that I know there is none like you. You cannot be exchanged for any other. I've requested another many times and none have volunteered to come forth, because you are the only. So I praise you right now. I pray that you light up the fire in those that are backslidden, Lord. And maybe someone that is not even born again, haven't received you. I pray tonight that they will. In Jesus' name, amen. In this time of ministry, I want to give you the opportunity. I want to give you the opportunity, if you want Jesus as your Lord and Savior, we'll have our brother to come and sing his Lord, brother. And then while we worship the Lord Jesus Christ here tonight, in spirit and in truth, if you want Jesus into your heart, really want him in your heart, you can come forward. If you are a backslider, you can come forward and I'm willing to pray with you. And if you want, whatever the reasons may be, I got no idea. You can come forward and we will rejoice with you and pray with you. Trust God for a miracle. Trust God for a healing or a deliverance or whatever it may be. I got no idea what you may want from the Lord tonight. Amen.